From Tobacco Republic in Loomis, California, this is Beyond the Humidor, with your hosts, Lewis Starr, Scott Robinson, and I am Greg Perry. Joining me tonight is social media director Sarah Bilt and tobacconist Craig Perry. Good evening, everybody. It's a little bit of a light group tonight on our ninth episode. I'm joined with Sarah and Craig, and the rest of the guys are vacationing and doing some other stuff, and so we're going to have a quiet little conversation tonight.
Or getting their ass kicked in Krav Maga.
Yeah, that could be too. So, you know, Craig, I know we missed a few things in the Humidor episode that we want to revisit, but before we get to that, you know, what are we smoking tonight? What do you got going on over there?
I am smoking The Last Cowboy Connecticut by Sinistro. This cigar is, it's one of those cigars, it's really hard to describe. I love Candelas because it's a guilty pleasure of mine, but I also enjoy them just for what they are, and it's a cigar that has the bottom half inch is the Candela leaf, and if you don't know what that is, it's the green leaf wrapper. So they harvest the tobacco when it's young and it's still green, and then they hang it like they normally would, and they age it, then they wrap it into a cigar, and a Candela has a very distinct taste. It's this grassy, earthy, like this peppery, spicy cigar, and it's one of those cigars a lot of people either they love it or they hate it. There's no in between. But I love it because it has this nice creaminess from that Connecticut, and it has that keeps that little bit of that Candela flavor all the way through the cigar. It's a fantastic smoke.
That sounds great. That sounds great. I can tell you, I'm not a Candela fan, but you know, is it similar? You may never tasted this, but is it similar to green tea ice cream? Green tea ice cream kind of tastes like lawn clippings.
Yeah, it does smell like fresh cut grass. It has that distinct smell. That's a good description.
Mm-hmm. How you doing over there, Sarah?
Just dandy.
Sarcasm noted.
Well, stop shooting me the devil eyes because I make jokes. Stop that.
No, I'm just quietly judging you.
I can accept that.
We can accept that. Yeah, why not?
Yeah.
What you smoking tonight?
So I was wandering through the humidor, as I often find myself, not wanting to fall into a rut of my happy little Don Benigno world.
That's a good rut to be in, by the way.
There are worse ruts out there.
Absolutely.
However, seeing as I have a few at home that I have not yet smoked, I figured I should try something different.
Mm-hmm.
So I looked to our resident tobacconist and asked for his advice. And he threw me Manolo Estate Connecticut, which, his words, not mine, like smoking a graham cracker.
The important thing is, does it taste like a graham cracker? That's all I care about.
It kind of does.
And I was noticing when she was sitting next to me where you're at, when the smell would waft by, it kind of does smell like a graham cracker.
A little bit, yeah.
So now I'm just missing the toasted marshmallow and chocolate.
Oh, you had to bring that up. Oh, now I want a s'more.
I want somebody to make a cigar that tastes just like a s'more. I don't care that if it's infused. I'm all over it.
Right?
Yes.
Somebody needs to get on that.
Yes.
Yep. Whoever's listening, get on that for us, would you?
And Greg, what are you smoking this evening?
So, you know, I am kind of in an interesting mood tonight. You know, it's ninth show, and I'm impressed that we're getting there. So I've got the Rocky 20th, and I've picked one of my favorite sizes, which is, of course, the Lancero. And Rocky came out with this cigar, was it last year or the year before, Craig?
Oh, I can't remember. Don't ask me that question.
It might have been the year before. Might even have been couple years back. But anyway, it's the celebration of Rocky's 20th year in business as a cigar manufacturer. It's a great cigar for that anniversary. Really nice light brown Honduran wrapper. It's delicately placed. I'm reading this, by the way, just so you all know. It's delicately placed over superb blend of filler tobaccos from Nicaragua and Honduras. It really is a great cigar. It's medium-bodied, 38 ring gauge by 7.5 inch. It's just a wonderful, wonderful cigar, and it's one that I highly recommend. There's several different sizes. I happen to like the Corona and the Robusto as well. All available at your local tobacconist, by the way.
Now, what do you think it tastes like? What flavors are you getting?
You know, that's the really hard part because, you know, as we talked about in episode 7, reviewing of the reviewers, you know, getting tasting notes for me is kind of difficult because as much as I would love to have that sophisticated of a palate, I just don't. You know, I can get earthy, oaky flavors from a cigar, or I do kind of understand the leather notes, but it's very hard to describe. This one, it's very, very smooth, very creamy, which surprises me with its tobacco blend. I'm expecting a bit of pepper and a bit of spice, and you tend to get that, but I normally tend to notice that in the last third when I'm smoking this cigar, not really up front. So it's a complex cigar, I'd have to say, because it starts out really smooth and creamy and gets peppery as you get toward the end of the cigar. And depending on your personal cigar preference, I tend to smoke it until I can barely hold on to it anymore. It can get some nice spice to it.
Very good, very good.
Now, so,
go ahead.
So you were telling me when we were talking last week about humidors, you had a couple of ideas come to you and suggestions from one of our cohorts, Bob, who is, I believe, based on Facebook in Vegas right now.
Indeed. He mentioned some things we missed that we should cover, and they're important. And the first one he mentioned was how to seal a glass-top humidor if you have the seal, the glass part and the seal in that part, because the wood can expand and contract with moisture and temperature, but the glass won't. So one thing you can do to seal it is you have to get food grade epoxy, and it'll be clear, and you can use a little bit of that right around the edge, and it'll create a clear seal to seal it, and it should expand and contract a little bit with the humidor, so it should last for years, and you may last forever. You may have to reapply it, but that's a very simple way to seal the glass top humidor.
That's not a bad way to go. I know that Sarah's got a glass top that we're going to do a little series on that.
We sure are.
Mm-hmm.
We're just going to beat it with a hammer and burn it, and I'm not going to try to save it.
Only if you replace it with the music humidor that's behind me.
Sure, I'll just charge double and then give you a discount.
Wow, so much love in this space.
Let's play Let's Make a Deal. It's going to come out at $559, but only for you a 50% discount, so it's actually $225. How about that?
And if you act now, we'll throw in a whistle.
Oh, I can't with y'all.
A whistle.
Oh, a whistle.
But how long have you been not using that one?
I plead the fifth.
Oh, okay, that long, huh? That's okay. You know, you normally, when I've seen you for the past couple of years now, it's been your herf.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Your herf.
Yes.
Yeah, okay. It's a herf brand. 10 count, is it? Travel humidor.
10, 15, something like mm-hmm. that.
Yeah. Oh, okay. I'm sorry. I'm thinking that. Wait, what? You're using it? Okay, I'm on board now. Okay, continue. Yeah.
Different brand. We're used to the Zycar ones that they have here.
Yes.
Okay. Yep. Yes.
I got you. I'm on board now.
Yeah.
Good job.
Thank you.
So, this is weird without the rest of them here. But anyway.
Or more pleasant, depending on how you look at it.
Wow. I'm not fielding those calls. No.
Yep.
So, you know, I know one of the other things that you were mentioning to me earlier tonight was, you know, I can't talk tonight.
The Tupperdor.
Thank you. Go.
So the Tupperdor, the idea is, because Tupperware, those like zip, like, what are they called? Ziplocs or Tupperware?
Well, their Ziploc is a bag. Tupperware is a plastic container.
Okay, either way. Those Tupperware containers that have that really good plastic seal. And the thing is you get one that can fit the cigar in, and you put your cigars in there and put a Bovita pack in there or whatever your choice for humidification is and seal it up, and they work for a really good, temporary, simple humidor, which I don't disagree with. It's really simple. It's easy to do, and if you're not too, don't care too much about the aesthetics of your humidor, or you just need some temporary space, it's a great option.
I've even heard of people using Igloo ice chests for that, too.
Yeah, I use that when I have to take them out in my car to go to golf courses, because it does a really good job of holding a little bit more of a temperature. So if it's in the summertime, it'll stay cooler longer. They work really good for temporary humidification storage.
Yes, they do.
Yes.
Great for moving, too.
Oh, yes.
Well, if you're like Scott and Lou with the big cabinet humidors, that's a great tip for when you're moving. Use an Igloo ice chest and some Bovita packs. And I seem to remember you had that huge, huge water pillow pack that you found that you were using for that, too.
Oh, yeah, all the time. It's great.
Mm-hmm.
Also, the last thing you can do for those of us, you know, like us, who have way too many humidors and more cigars than we know what to do with, is also the Ziploc bag that has a good seal. And then the Ziploc bag, your cigars in the bag with some Bovita packs, just makes a great temporary storage as well. That's also another option.
Yeah, like when you come back from Denver with more cigars than you have space for.
Indeed, mm-hmm. Too many.
Mm-hmm.
By the way, we should smoke more of those.
Yeah, I know. We really got to work on that.
Indeed.
I volunteer as tribute.
Okay. May the odds be ever in your favor when you pull one out of the bag.
You're not going to like the test we set up to survive to even get the cigar, just so you know.
I'll take you.
The Hunger Games begin.
I ain't afraid of you.
We're going to have Greg dressed up like that guy from the Hunger Games with that crazy beard shaving and that crazy red jacket.
No. In the first episode, the chick with the dress, I think, would be more my standard with the pink hair.
Pink. Obviously.
From 13, obviously. From District 13, you know. Mm-hmm.
I don't think you would fill that dress out very good, though.
In certain locations, quite well. In others, not so much. So, you know.
But we digress.
True. You know, one of the things I think in this industry that is really cool is I was reading the other day on Oscar Valladares and the Wild Hunter doing a bit of research for an upcoming segment on the website. And I didn't know this. It's news to me. Apparently, Oscar was Rocky's driver before he worked up into through the cigar world and eventually his own cigar company.
What?
That's true. Yeah. He used to be his bus driver. And, you know, as far as I understand, he used to drive all his high-end clients around or other people around, and he just talked about cigars the entire time, was really into it. And one day some of them go to Rocky and say, you should talk to this guy. He's really smart. So Rocky does, goes and talks to him, and then eventually offers him a job. And Oscar says no. Rocky talks to him a second time. And Oscar says no. I don't know what he said or offered him the third time, but he finally said yes. And then he got into the cigar industry, and he worked his way up, and he blends some amazing cigars. And now he owns his own cigar brand and blends as well for that. He's just like the greatest story ever. I mean, you go from bus driver to entrepreneur in the short amount of time, and the guy's got some mad game.
Yeah, he does. He makes great cigars. That's great, great hope for the future, you know, of in this industry and the world in general, if people can just continue to do that. You know, one of the ones that I happen to love with his cigars, because he's got so many good cigars, and he's also Island Jim's blender. And if you haven't tried the Island Jim brand, you really should. The Leaf by Oscar and the Island Jim cigars are all really great ones. But aside from the Wild Hunter, which, as you guys know from the previous podcast, is one of my favorites, is also the 2012 series that he's got in Connecticut, Corojo, and Maduro.
That's correct.
That Corojo, the Connecticut is wonderful. It's smooth, great flavor. Surprisingly good flavor for a Connecticut, because we tend to think of those as a mild to medium cigar. And then you go to that Corojo, where you step up, the creaminess tends to linger very subtly, but then you step up the game in the spice and the flavor punch throughout the cigar. And I can't say I've smoked the Maduro, because I'm kind of a wuss, and Maduros are not typically my thing, but if the first two are any game, it has to be an amazing cigar.
You need to smoke the Maduro, because it's like a lot of Maduros that are just It's not very strong. It's milder than you'd expect from a Maduro, but it has the flavor notes you're looking for if you want a Maduro. So you really should smoke it. It's not as heavy as it sounds. It's not like the LFDs where you go for the double Ajero and you know you're getting a strong cigar with good flavor. It's not like that. So I would recommend you smoke that.
I'll have to try it. It'd have to be on one of my list. You know, speaking of, what cigars do you think are your go-tos? I mean, I know one of Sarah's I can pick right away because she said it, and that's that Benigno. But what are some of your go-to cigars? What are some that you'll pick for your everydays?
Well, I would like to address one thing first. Let's talk about what makes a cigar a go-to cigar for us.
Okay.
Sarah, would you like to lead this conversation and what makes a go-to cigar for you?
Would love to, Craig. So, as with many things that I enjoy, mood is a big factor. What sounds good at the time? Something like Don Benigno is really smokable. I can have that cigar whether I've eaten something or not. Coffee, no coffee. So that's a really nice go-to. There's also Christoph has some really great cigars in his line that are easily some go-tos for me. What else? What else, tobacconist, that I pick out of this humidor?
Well, I don't know. That's your decision. I can tell you what your go-tos are.
Well, it depends. I know that, you know.
You love going to the Swisher Grape. That's a go-to of Sarah's.
Get out. Get out. I mean, right now I am craving 858.
Oh, yeah. It's a good smoke.
Yeah, I know.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think it's not necessarily just the brand, too, but the size.
Yeah.
Because, you know, you tend to stick with either, you vacillate from knowing you for however long we've known each other, years. Mm-hmm. You vacillate between like a couple of sizes, Lancero being one of them, Robusto particularly. And then, you know, sometimes when you're really in the mood, the Petit Cedro, which for non-Don Benigno fans is a Corona. Mm-hmm. You know, I think that does play a lot of difference into it, too. When we think about a go-to cigar is not only the brand and the strength that we're choosing on that brand, but the size and what time frame, as Scott mentioned in an earlier podcast, how long do we have to smoke this cigar? Is this a step out of the club because I need a break from the noise and the people for like a 10-minute cigarillo, or is this a sit back and enjoy a concert at, and you're one of your favorites, which I need to get over to, a Shady Lady and spend an hour with a cigar listening to some music? I think size and has to be factored into that.
Most definitely.
Indeed. For me, what makes a cigar go-to for me is, well, it's particularly like Benigno, basically anything by Don Benigno. I'm with Sarah. I'll smoke it all day, any day. But when I pick a go-to cigar, I'm looking more, what is a cigar that is always something I want to smoke regardless of the situation because I enjoy it that much. So for me, a go-to cigar, if I'm just working in the yard or pretending I'm fishing, I do that not very often, but I should more, is the Cameroon Yardstick. I really enjoy that one. Something I can just light up, enjoy while I'm fishing, and with maybe bait in the water, but, you know, a chair, a cigar, and it's all I need, quiet. And the other one would be another good go-to is basically anything by Oscar at this point. I haven't had anything that has disappointed me. There's a lot of Rockies I love. I love the 20, not the 20, not the 20. I'm breaking the Corojo Old World Reserve.
Yes.
I could smoke that all day, every day. The Lanceros, almost anything in Lancero I could smoke because Lancero for me just makes everything better. So that's really what I'm looking for. What's something I always want to smoke all the time? That's anything like that. That's like, yeah, I'll smoke this. I love that. Is my go-to cigar.
And I think too, something not to be left out is consistency. Is the cigar going to be the same every time you pick it up? You know, because when Hamlet was here 2 years ago at the holiday time, he was explaining that it's very difficult to keep cigars consistent in terms of their flavor. They actually, we think it's so easy because we as the consumer, you know, we buy a box or we buy a few sticks, we smoke those a few weeks or a few months later, we buy those same cigars again and they're consistent flavors. And then we take that out to over years, they're still consistent. But what he was explaining, which was fascinating, and I know somebody has video of it, we'll have to find who has it and get it, but he was explaining that they literally, year over year, just like wine, have to reblend that same cigar every year because different growing years yield different types of tobacco and different subtleties that change. So it then becomes a blending game. And I think, you know, consistency is one of the big things to circle back around. For me, I know one of my go-tos every day, as much as you know, it's not an expensive cigar, much like the Yardstick, is the Rocky Patel Edge Sumatra. It's a wonderful medium-spiced cigar with great depth of flavor, and the way they roll it, which I would have to look up, but the way they roll it, it starts out one flavor and changes as you go through, and that's the way they lay the leaves when they're rolling the actual cigar before they put the wrapper on it.
Yeah, the Hamlet was talking about that too, how different parts of the leaf have different strengths of flavor, so how they have to basically bend it and adjust it so at the start you're going to get the milder flavors, and as you smoke through it, it gets stronger and stronger and gets into those stronger flavors as you get to the end. So that was an interesting thing to watch as well.
Mm-hmm. I know somebody's got that video. It might be Sam, so we'll have to reach out and see if he's still got it.
But it's really good that we're having this conversation because both of the cigars that you guys just brought up as your go-tos, I had completely forgotten because it had been so long since I've smoked a Cameroon Yardstick or an Edge Sumatra. There's another Edge that I did like.
What color wrapper?
Well, there's the Corojo, there's the Maduro, the Sumatra, the Habano, and the Light, which is the Connecticut.
The Habano is good.
Yes, it is. It's very good.
Yeah, it was the Habano and the Sumatra, but the Sumatra was easily one of my favorites. Now, have either of you ever had anything from Rockefeller?
No,
I have not.
Those are good, very similar in the family of Edge, similar price point. One thing about those is that it's a very consistent flavor from cutting and lighting to getting up to the band. It's really nice. You don't have to think about it. Don't have to fight to keep it lit.
That's one of my, that we forgot to mention too when we were talking about what makes a go-to is I don't want to fight with a cigar to keep it lit. I love one that I may have to make a minor flame adjustment, but for the most part, I want to be able to light it and smoke it till I'm done.
I agree. There's nothing, when you just want to relax with something you're comfortable and familiar with, there's nothing worse than when you have to relight it multiple times.
Yeah, and especially when you start burning and charring it real bad and then it gets bitter, it just ruins the experience of why we're doing this. You know, I was thinking while we were talking about that, another one that is one of my go-tos when it's like, okay, I'm not really sure what I want to smoke, but I'm ready for a cigar. Aside from the Yardsticks and the Edges is the Camacho line. Mm-hmm. You know, I miss the days of the original Triple Maduro blend because though a Maduro is not normally in my wheelhouse, occasionally, especially after a heavy meal or a good steak or a burger, I do want that real strong flavor to sit on top of the meal. So the Triple Maduro is a great one on that one. And then, of course, I believe it's the yellow band, which is the Criollo, and the orange, it's the Connecticut. They're smooth. They're consistent. Their flavor is outstanding. I mean, you're smoking that Criollo or that Connecticut, and you would swear you're smoking a medium to full-bodied cigar with their flavor profile. They don't have that power, but they have that flavor. And I think that to me makes it one of the go-tos as well. Yeah, I know for a couple of the guys in the lounge, one of our friends, he smokes the Criollo consistently because of the beautiful nature of that cigar.
Indeed. I want one other cigar I really like for a consistent go-to cigar is I'm a big fan of the... Great, now it's escaped my memory for a second here. It's the Gilberto Habano in Connecticut by Oliva.
Oh, yeah.
Those are really good. I love the Connecticut because it has that really nice oaky flavor with that creaminess. It's like a cigar I would smoke a really good scotch with.
Mm-hmm.
I would drink a really good scotch with. I don't smoke the scotch. Yes, I drink the cigar and smoke the scotch. It's just how it works.
You were ready to jump on that one, weren't you, Sarah?
You know, Craig, I don't judge, but let me know how that works out for you.
Thank you. I will.
So can I segue for just a minute here since we brought up scotch? What's your go-to scotch, Sarah?
Yes.
Okay. Highland Park 18 year. It's a really nice oaky scotch.
Okay.
Honestly, I have been so spoiled over the last couple of years when it comes to scotch that...
Hard to pick.
I don't... Yeah. Well, like, I was out with a friend last week, and he drinks very good scotch. He said, Sarah, would you like scotch? And I said, yes, please.
Is that even a question?
I know. Right? And, didn't even bother to ask, just knew that whatever he was going to throw my way was going to be good.
Mm-hmm.
The Glenn Faudry that we've had over the last month or so, that is some damn good scotch.
Yeah.
But really, truly, yeah. Single malt, the older, the better.
True, true.
If they're old enough to drink, it's a really good scotch, typically.
Yeah, yes. I mean, there's two for me. One of them is a single malt. It's the Macallan Gold. It's in a blue bottle. Retails for about $55 to $65. Really good blend. Really good scotch, not a blend. Wow. Now, there is a blended that all three of us can agree on. It was Lewis turned us on to this, and it's Monkey Shoulder. When I say blended, guys, I don't mean blended with grain alcohol. I mean it is a blend of single malt scotches.
Monkey Shoulder is easily, it's a decent price point.
Yeah, like $30 a bottle.
Yeah, and very drinkable.
Mm-hmm.
I can drink that neat, no problem.
Two tiny rocks, very tiny rocks.
That's blasphemy. You don't put ice in good scotch.
Just a tiny rock.
Drink it neat.
True.
Or a little bit of water if you must.
Like a capful max.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
On rare occasions.
I don't feel like we're all on the same page here.
Well, I mean, everybody likes different cigars, so everybody likes their scotch a different way.
But there are some scotches that you do, it is recommended to add just a little bit of water to open that up. But I am with you, Craig. Yep. I will say 90% of the time, it has to be neat.
That's right. If you can't drink it neat, it's not good scotch.
I can't argue with that.
That's a solid rule of thumb.
That's right.
Might not try either. So another thing that Craig and I were talking about earlier is favorite cigars. And this is such a challenge because if you pinned me down and said, what's your favorite cigar? I can't pick just one. Kind of like Lay's potato chips. Can't have just one.
No, I can't think. I can't. If you had asked me this when I first started smoking, I could have pinpointed my favorite cigar. But over these 10 years, it's gotten to the point where I like that one. Oh, I like that one, too. It'd have to be top 10 or top 20 at this point.
Right. But I know, and I know Sarah's smoked one or two of these because I've given her one. But one of my personal favorites, and the rarity is crushingly painful, is the Mi Liga by George Rico out of Gran Habano. Craig, what was the backstory on that cigar? It's escaping my memory.
So he made this. This was a blend specifically for him. He had 1,000 boxes made for himself, and then he decided to release 100 of them and sold 100 of them. And we got 10 of them here, and then we managed to get a hold of 44 boxes. So we got quite a few of the movies.
You got over half of them.
Yeah, we got almost half of them,
yeah. I know, because between you and I, we had 13 boxes.
Yeah, a ridiculous amount.
In our possession?
They were so good. I couldn't stand it looking in my humidor saying, man, there's only like 5 left of these. What am I going to do when they're gone?
Are they gone?
No, I still have them. I'm not going to smoke them because of that. I must save them.
Yeah, I know. I looked, and if you figure there were 20 per box, I bought by myself, I bought 10 boxes. I had 200 of these things. When I last reseasoned my humidor, because stupidly I was not paying attention to it as well as I should have, and it did dry out. Thank God I caught it soon enough, but I had to reseason the whole humidor. I was down to only 36 Miligas. I wanted to cry. Because I know, unless George decides to release him again, once those 36 are gone, that is it. They are gone. And that it's crushingly heartbreaking for me, because it's one of my favorites. But, you know, there are others that I like equally as well. Number 2 spot would be the Don Bonino in Lancero. It's such a great cigar. And then, you know, we could go even down to the Rockies. There's several Rocky lines. The Corojo Old World Reserve in Corojo is another one that's one of my favorites. That's Sumatra. And, you know, you can't leave out the Oscars. The 2012 in Corojo, the Sumatra Leaf, which is Oscar and Island Jim. And the Wild Hunter has become one of the new ones. So you guys can see how easily it is to not be able to pick just one. Because I end up with a rotation of my favorite cigars.
Oh, yeah. It's too hard at this point. Too many good cigars.
Sarah's number 1 is the Bonino, though. I can tell that right away. Unless she's going to surprise me.
Yes, but I'm going to go with my favorite, which also has a good story. 3 years ago, I was sitting in my cigar shop at the time, and
Wait, 1 second. You have a shop other than this one? What?
Sure do.
Aw.
Yeah. And we got news that Carlos Fuente had passed away.
I remember that day, yes.
And it was such an interesting moment to be with cigar family and hearing that news. We got together. I had an Opus from the previous Christmas that I hadn't smoked yet. And so we all broke out whatever Opus that we had or pulled one out of the humidor at the shop. And we toasted Carlos and spent some time just with each other and smoking our cigars. And so with that story, Angel Share, which one was it? The Perfección.
Oh, that is, yeah. And there we go into that again, because I was fortunate enough. This shop got some Angel Shares in that, if I remember correctly, were 15 plus years old.
Ooh.
Maybe pushing 20 to 25 years old. Stupidly, I bought 2. Then I decided I wanted more, and Roy bought all the rest of them.
Bastard!
Yeah, no kidding, right? So I found out that I really love the Angel Share as well. And, you know, I forgot one of my favorites, too, the new one, the High Clare.
Yes, you did.
If you guys have not tried that cigar, go to your local brick and mortar and check it out. The High Clare Castle is made by Foundation Cigar Company. I think it's one of the best smokes that I've smoked out there. And, you know, it is a mad... These two will tell you that I have been talking about that cigar for like 6 months, ever since I heard it was going to premiere at IPCPR. And one of it is stupidly because I am a fan of High Clare Castle itself and the show Downton Abbey. And so there was a little bit of hype about that, but I found out that it was such an amazing cigar. And now I search it out when I can find them to buy them. So it's a great stick, too.
Indeed.
I agree.
The best cigar I ever smoked was one I won in a bet, so you know that makes it all the sweeter. So I made a bet with Roger, and then I won it, and the conditions were that pick any cigar you want as long as it comes from this shop. So I picked, I went up and I said, I want the most expensive cigar you have at the time. And he said, are you sure? And I said, yes. So he handed me the cigar. It was Byron Elegantes.
Were you working here at the time?
I was not.
Okay.
And I stuck my head out the door and I said, hey, Roger, can it be this cigar? And he's like, what is it? And I told him what it was, and he said, get me one, too.
That sounds like a very Roger thing, too. Yeah.
So we sat it around at Wes's house not too much longer, and we smoked that cigar. It was amazing. It was this cigar that just smelled like, you know that smell of cognac? It just smelled like cognac and candy, but it wasn't infused. It was just this beautiful smoke. It was so good that after I smoked that cigar, I didn't want to smoke anything else. I just wanted to remember that smell on my tongue. I just wanted to remember that taste on my tongue and that smell in my nose, as before I say it incorrectly like the other thing I said. But that was the best cigar I've ever smoked.
And, you know, I think best cigar ever smoked is subjective. I think we'd all agree, because there are so many cigar lines and so many things out there. And, you know, we, as much as we try to venture out and see the lines, you know, we get into the habit of what's in our home brick and mortar. And I can say, for me, it'd be a tie. It'd be a very difficult tie between the Mi Liga and the High Clare for the best I've ever smoked right now. Because there are so many cigars out there that who knows, and there's blends being done now that we don't even know about, so that could change in the future.
Oh, yeah, there's always new stuff coming out, and cigars come and go. It's just the nature of the industry, and it's always fun to find new things.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And I'm kind of interested to see, you know, the big trade show just happened in July. I think it was end of June, early July.
Yeah, it was right before the 4th of July.
Right. And then, so I'll be interested to see what comes out of it next year. Because I know one of the ones that came into this shop, I don't know if it was a release for IPCPR or PCA, depending on which title you know now, was that Buffalo 10. That's in the humidor. That is a really surprising cigar, especially at a $7 price point. It is an amazing stick.
It really is. Radames knows how to blend a cigar at El Artista Cigars. He makes great stuff.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
He also makes a Cimarron, and that's a fantastic cigar.
That's his too?
That's his too.
Because that is a great Connecticut cigar.
And also has a Maduro as well.
Because I don't think Sarah's tried that Cimarron in Connecticut yet, or am I remembering incorrectly?
I don't believe I have.
Oh, you got to try that one. There might even be one in the giant tub of cigars that came back from Denver.
I'll have to go rifling through the next time I'm over at your old house.
Yeah, yeah. Because that many cigars. I'm still sitting, Craig and I, and...
Aren't they still in your suitcase?
They are.
Yes, but they're in humidified packs in my suitcase, so they're safe. But, you know... When we came back from Big Smoke in Las Vegas last November, I came back with 75 cigars from there, and I still have some of those I haven't gotten to smoke yet. So the ones from Denver, I'll probably still be smoking those when we all go to Denver next year.
Good stuff.
Yes, definitely good stuff. So... What else we got on the agenda there, Craig?
Well, we can if we're done with those topics, we can move on to the more fun trivia questions for Sarah and you as well.
Trivia questions,
our Star Wars, from our Star Wars home, who didn't grow up with Star Trek. It's just, I pity you a little bit just because you missed out on the great thing that was Star Trek.
What do you mean missed out? It's all on Netflix.
I didn't live in a hole.
Wait.
I was just raised right.
This from the persons whose nickname is the Hobbit. They live in holes under a hill, if I remember correctly.
Okay. Anyway, shoot, Craig.
All right. My first trivia question should be a relatively easy one. if you're super nerdy like myself, because this is one.
No, that's a whole nother level of nerdy, friend.
It is. This is one that I actually knew the answer to. Just
that gives me hope.
Yeah. What is the model of Han Solo's blaster pistol?
You knew that?
I did
off
know
the
that.
Top of your head.
Yes, I did.
Of course he did.
Wow. And I thought I was a Trek nerd, but you have just exceeded my level of expectation, sir.
Would anyone like to wager a guess, or should I just...
Model number one? I don't know.
It's a modified DL-44 blaster pistol made by Blastech Industries.
How the hell are we supposed to know that?
Even on my best day, I don't think that I'd be able to pull that one out.
You know, I was figuring if he was going to come up with some trivia questions about Star Wars, it'd be, what's the worst character in the series or something like that? But
well, that's not a trivia question. That's a matter of opinion. We all know who that character is.
Who, Craig?
Well, it's a toss-up between Jar Jar Binks and Daisy May from the new series.
I don't know who
you
that
take that
is
back right
new-
now.
What? Rey is a terrible character. Rey's problem isn't that she couldn't be a good character. Her problem is that she has no character. She is perfect in everything. She is better at everything than everybody else. She has no flaws. She has nothing to grow or learn from. That's her big flaw as a character. She has no growth potential. She's the best Jedi without any training. She is the best pilot without any training. She knows how to jerry-rig a ship that she's never worked on before, right? Those are just some examples of the problem with her character. Like, she could have easily been one of the best characters because they were building up so hard into her backstory with her parents and her family and trying to struggle with that. And then they just scraped it under the table and said, yeah, it's not an issue anymore. Move on. And that was really the only big part of her character that we're missing and we're never going to get to find out unless they bring it up in the 9th movie, which I'm not going to watch.
Okay, clearly I got to play catch up then.
Well, so I'm going to go watch it. And then we can talk about it.
Okay, well, then I guess I have to watch it, too, so we can talk about it.
Obviously.
Yeah, yeah. All right.
Then we can, okay. Then we can argue about it, too, but that'll be a fun conversation.
I'm here for it.
All right. Want to move on to the next question, or you want to argue more about those characters? Gregory, what do you think is the worst character in Star Wars now that you brought that up?
Hands down. Me so annoying, Jar Jar Binks.
100%.
He is a, to quote you... He is a plot device and nothing more. He doesn't bring anything to the pictures.
Other than terrible humor for children.
Yeah. Favorite character, though, is not in any of the movies proper. My favorite character is in the animated series.
Which one's that?
And now that I've said that, I can't think of the chick's name. It was Skywalker's Padawan.
Yeah, Ahsoka, yeah.
One of my favorite characters because, you know, you look at they make Anakin out not so much in the movies, except in the third one, which is, help me out.
Revenge of the Sith.
Thank you, Revenge of the Sith. But they make him out to be a rebel and a very unstable Jedi through the cartoon series. And Ahsoka can be both... the calming effect on Anakin and feed that the rebellious nature. So I think that's one of the better aspects of that character.
I also think they handled Anakin a lot better in that series than they did in the movies. So that's also a bonus.
Absolutely.
Like, that takes so much work.
No, it really doesn't, because he was written so poorly in the movies. Anakin was written to be a rebellious, angry teenager from the start, so he had nowhere to descend into.
Trying to light myself on fire again.
Well, you could succeed this time. It'd be kind of funny. I got a fire extinguisher over there.
Yeah, but there's no video for them to see that happen, so it'd kind of be a moot point except for the screaming.
I'm sure Sarah can whip out her phone real quick and take some photos.
True. Too true.
All right, next question. Are you ready, Sarah? I see you lighting your cigar. Are you ready?
Is that okay with you?
It is okay. I just want to make sure you're paying attention for this difficult yet easy trivia question.
As ready as I'll ever be.
All right. In The Empire Strikes Back, the four-legged walker, the AT-AT, what does AT-AT stand for?
Alternative terrain, alternative transport?
You're close. You got half of it right.
Alternative terrain?
It's the all-terrain armored transport.
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, I wasn't going to be able to spit that out, but if you'd given me...
I heard that.
No, if, that was the... I just
if threw my... You, you'd be able to figure out... I can figure out, too. Sarah, what does the stand for? We're talking about Star Wars.
Keep it clean. Keep it clean. I see the wheels turning in your head.
I was just going to ask if you were done, sir.
I am. Would you like to continue?
Would I?
We need the Who Wants to Be a Millionaire soundtrack for that one, right?
Clearly. All right, Craig.
Is that a we want to move on?
Yeah, go ahead.
All right. Next question. This is from the prequels.
Oh.
Come on, you've seen them.
Not the third one.
Well, you don't have to see the third one to know this question. Who was the senator Palpatine preceded as chancellor of the Galactic Senate?
The senator he preceded or the chancellor he preceded?
Well, okay, the chancellor he preceded.
Yeah, I got another.
Valorum.
Hey, bingo, that's the one.
That has nothing to do with the prequels, my friend. They make a big deal about Valorum in the animated series.
I forgot you've watched that extensively.
Yeah, over and over again. But you know what's really sad? Now that Disney has taken over the franchise, they pulled it off Netflix.
Yeah, it's going to be on the Disney...
Wow, someone's calling us here at the shop right now. So forgive us if you hear the phone ringing. We're not here, though. We're closed, sorry.
Yeah.
On the whatever Disney streaming service is, what's it called?
Disney One or something
Disney
like that.
Disney Plus?
Disney Plus. Yeah.
It's going to be great.
All right, then.
It's going to be fantastic.
Okay.
I know our friend Kristen's probably waiting with bated breath for that one to come out.
Oh, I'm certain.
Mm-hmm. She's like the ultimate Disney fan.
I used to be.
Yeah. So what's next on your little mind game here?
Next question isn't necessarily related to Star Wars itself, but Star Wars trivia nonetheless. Are you ready? Here we go. What U.S. magazine declared Star Wars the year's best movie in its May 30th, 1977 issue?
Time?
That's the one.
Yeah!
You got it.
What do I win, Craig?
You win...
a lifetime supply of grape swishers.
That's too generous, sir. You win you win a hat with a propeller on it. And if you get another question right, it comes with a whistle.
What is it with you?
A slide whistle
whistles?
Or a whistle?
A slide whistle. Yes! It has to be a slide whistle.
Okay. Bring it on.
All right. Ow. Here we go. Next question. What is Yoda's last name?
Oh, crap.
It's awful quiet in here.
I surrender. Does he have a last name?
I asked you what his last name is. What do you think the answer is?
See, and all I'm thinking of is the Blue Harvest.
You think his last name is the Blue Harvest?
No. Oh,
the
my
Family Guy
word.
Episode?
Yes, thank you, Greg.
Oh, it's been a long time since I've seen that. So, are we done?
Yep. I surrender.
Because, Greg, you were right on the money. Does he even have one? And the answer is it's a trick question. He does not have a last name.
That's why I was thinking Blue Harvest.
Yeah. So then you're both right on the money. He does not have a last name.
Okay.
Last question. This is a fun one. Here we go. What scientist, what real-life scientist, were the eyes for the Yoda puppet designed after?
I wasn't paying attention. Sorry. What scientist?
What real-life scientist were the eyes for the Yoda puppet designed after?
I'll take a wild swing at it.
Go ahead.
Carl Sagan.
Sarah, would you like to wager a guess?
Einstein.
Bingo, that's the one.
Albert Einstein.
Albert Einstein, yeah.
Wow.
Well, yeah, if you think about it.
The goofy hair and all.
The goofy hair, that makes sense. The goofy hair makes complete sense. Now that was fun. That we got to do occasionally.
Was it?
I thought so. That was fun.
No, you should have.
Yeah, that's because you got most of those right.
He got one right.
I got one right.
Oh, that's right.
You won.
Did I win?
You won a hat with a propeller and a slide whistle.
I wish I could make that sound effect.
I do too.
Nope.
No, I can't do it.
That sounded really strange through my headphones.
It's not the only thing that sounds strange.
At least you're not hearing the cat skinning.
That's true. We're not.
Well, we did offer you headphones. You didn't have to listen to it all night.
I know, but it's kind of fun.
Especially when they do Bohemian Rhapsody. Not just the short version, the full version.
Right.
It's great.
We'll see, and it's more fun because everybody else generally has headphones, and so they see my facial responses to whatever is happening next door, and then they get very concerned.
Well, no, and that's some of the things, too, is we'll be in the middle of saying something and look over at Sarah, and she's got this look of either shock or horror or surprise or something, and it's like, I didn't think what I said was that way, but it has nothing to do with what we say. But, you know, I think it's been a great episode, and I want to take a minute to thank the listeners and thank everybody that's involved with making this program. You know, we're 9 episodes in, going towards however many we decide to go for, and it's just been a good time. And one of the things, we are still waiting for some feedback, guys. So, you know, we've heard from our friend Chris that he really enjoys that program, and we greatly appreciate that feedback. Yeah, don't look at me. I was hoping you were going to jump in behind me, but you didn't there. But I know you commented on Facebook on his comment. But
yes,
you know, we appreciate that, Chris. And guys, there's several ways to reach out to us. Our email address for this program is beyondthehumidor@gmail.com. I've said it before. I'm going to say it again, and I'm going to keep saying it until one of you guys does it. Shoot us an email. If you have a particular topic you'd like us to talk about, or if you have a story that you want us to share on the show, please send it to us. We'll talk about it. We'll read it for you and make sure we talk about your subjects that you want to enjoy. There's also ways to reach out to us, social media director. Please do tell.
We are on Facebook. Just look up Loomis Cigar Cartel. Our Instagram handle is @LoomisCigarCartel, and on Twitter, we are @LCCartel.
Yes, we are. We also have our website, LoomisCigarCartel.com. And, you know, hey, if you want to meet most of us, why don't you come down to Tobacco Republic? Craig's here every bloody night. Sarah and I are here, most of the nights. So are my cohorts, Scott, Bob, Lewis, and Larry. You know, come hang out with us. Let's talk in person.
Don't tell the stalkers how to find us. What's wrong with you?
Oh, you know, might be fun.
That's a word for it.
So on that note, guys, we want to say thank you again, and we hope to see you guys next week. I am not sure if I'm going to be on the program next week, but we will be back with our regular cast of crazies. So we hope you guys have a great night and a good evening. Talk to you soon. Bye-bye.
Thank you, and God bless.